Our challenge this morning is just to kind of focus on, you know, our message title is Thankful for Salvation. But our challenge this morning is to really kind of focus on what we have in Jesus. We're very busy. Life is very busy. And sometimes we need to slow down, just especially when we have a time set aside to slow down. I'll give you an example. I had a hearing test this week. I have one about once a year or so, and they're checking certain things about my hearing. Usually I lose my hearing when somebody tells me I need to do something. That's the part that I lose, and they're trying to find it. But anyway, no, there's different frequencies, you know, that sometimes you lose. It can be hereditary. It can be, noises that you're around and so on. And it can be health issues, too. But so I was sitting there in that room doing the hearing test, and the lady was talking to me through these little things they put in your ears. And she's like, okay, now I need you to know every time you hear a sound, then I need you to let me know or repeat whatever it is that you're supposed to be repeating. So, you know, and you're sitting in this enclosed room that you can't hear anything. I mean, it's just solid. For those of you who had one, you know what I'm talking about, but it's just you can't hear anything. It's a soundproof room. And believe it or not, in the middle of the hearing test, and hopefully Wendy won't tell the doctor this because they work in the same building, or in the same office, but in the middle of it, I was actually thinking about, I wonder how the best way is to go home. and I was thinking, and I looked at my watch, and I'm like, okay, if I go this way, I'm going to hit this traffic. And my point is, to say all that, is sometimes our minds are so busy that we're not thinking about what's taking place right now. And so it's almost like I had to shake myself. I'm like, I'll worry about that later, because it's really important that I tell her that I hear certain noises. But sometimes our mind allows us to drift off. Well, the subject we're talking about this morning, I trust that we don't drift off because we should truly be thankful for our salvation. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what we rejoice over today is so important to our life now and our life to come. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is what money can't buy. It can't be replaced. The only one that can be provided, the only one that can provide is Jesus. And so our message title is Thankful for Salvation. I want to read to you in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And it's a familiar passage. It's actually a familiar verse to many of us. But I want us to think about the words of this verse. And it goes like this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time we have together. We do thank you for answered prayer, the encouragement, the cards, your healing. Lord, we lift up the requests of prayer that's on our prayer list and those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that can't get out, and there's just so many. But Lord, we thank you most of all today for salvation and the provision that you've made. And Lord, we pray if there's someone that's under the sound of our voice in any way that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, no matter who it is, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart and to cause them to realize just what we have in the Lord Jesus. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never lose sight. And help us to always keep it in the forefront of our life of what we have in the Lord Jesus. Help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in an ever-changing world. People spend their whole lives trying to make things better. And we're grateful for that in a lot of cases. There's people that live and they build their careers on making things better. They make things faster. And they're making things more productive. In some cases, that's a blessing. One of the things that I remember growing up was my mother when she washed clothes. And some of you can relate to this, but she would wash clothes. And there was this, it was a big tub, and it had a kind of a head on the top of it. And it was this big tub, and she would take it and she would wash them. And then she would, she had a handle that she would wring the water out, and it would go between two rollers. And she washed with that for years. And she became very ecstatic when we were able to buy one that was electric that did the wringing out for her rather than cranking the handle. And, of course, with my mother, you know, when you're around kids, you know, she would always threaten you, or she would always say, you know, say things to try to get you to not do things. And so when we got this, I would go down there with her sometimes and washing the clothes and, in our basement. And she would always, when we got this new electric one, she would always say, "Don't put your hand in there. You'll mash your arm off." And mothers do things like that. They would kind of threaten you, as far as what the outcome will be. But she was excited about the change. And now we have washers and dryers that just about do themselves, that you can control by your phone. And so it's amazing how that things change. And we're living in an ever-changing world. Brother Glenn told a story about a car that he had, about how it hit the brakes for him. Well, I had a similar scenario. We were in a Walmart parking lot, and this was just recently, and I was backing out of the parking places, and there was a car going the wrong direction that I didn't see, and then all of a sudden I felt like somebody just hit me in the back of the head, but it was in reality the car stopping. And I'll be honest with you, if it wouldn't have stopped, somebody would have hit me. And so that's some of the technology. That's some of the technology and some of the changes. But yet, when it comes to changes, there's one change that can't take place. Although men try to make things better, and although things, they try to make things, it's all about making things better, making things faster, and so on. But there's one thing that you can't change, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the one thing that you can't change, and that's why we're thankful for salvation. Some people try to change it, but some things, it's better off just left alone. Because you can't make salvation any better than what we already have it, because Jesus Christ gave His all. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words as man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, this morning, what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be thankful for, and we should be thankful, and I'm talking truly thankful, for our salvation, because it's in Jesus Christ. Salvation is real. Salvation is sure and salvation is forever. God's salvation covers man's every need, past, present, and future. But there's something special about this salvation. What's special about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is immediate. When we accept Christ as our Savior, it's immediate. It's immediate. But not only is it immediate, it's also eternal. You see, it covers, as I said, the past, present, and future. Why so thankful? Why is our salvation so, why should we be so thankful about our salvation? Let me give you just a very brief, and you've heard this before, but it goes along with the message. I'll give you my personal testimony. What I have in Jesus is none other than a changed life. A changed life. My life was not one that you would consider that I was a drunkard in a side ditch somewhere. I was 15 years old, and I was actually talking to Pastor Chuck about this just briefly this morning. And, you know, and you could probably relate to this, but being a 15-year-old now is a lot different than being a 15-year-old when I was growing up. Being a 15-year-old when I was growing up was a lot different than a 15-year-old when you, many of you were growing up. Generations are changing. And the prevalence of of sin and the things that people are involved in and people that are, you know, that have access to is very devastating. And it can really cause harm. But when I was 15 years old, I hadn't got into a lot. I hadn't had my license yet and hadn't got into a lot. I was, you know, mischievous, I guess you would say. And I had the teenager syndrome, to where you feel like you know everything and you had a habit of maybe talking back when you shouldn't and those type of things. But I wasn't one that was safe from prison, or I wasn't one that had committed a lot of bad things, even though sin's sin, and we know that. But the point I'm saying is, I still needed to be saved. I just knew something was missing in my life. That's the bottom line. I knew something was missing. And the night that I got saved, when I was 15 years old, I didn't go to the youth meeting on that Friday night to get saved. I went there because my friends were going there and we were having a hayride and so on. But I didn't go there to say, okay, I'm going to get saved tonight. But yet the preacher gave the message, and it was just a small youth group. There were probably about 15 or so, and some leaders, and they had somebody to come and bring a message to us after the hayride and the cookout and those type of things. And he gave the message, but I don't really remember what he preached. All I remember was the Holy Spirit nudged on my heart. And I realized at that moment, at that time, that if I took my last breath, that I was going to hell. I was going to hell. And he gave me a way through that message. He gave me a way. And although I'd heard about Jesus most of my life, he gave me a way. And he said, you need to accept Christ and you need to be saved. That night I bowed my head. And ultimately, it was between me and God. And I said, Jesus, will you save me? And without a shadow of a doubt, he saved me. I knew there was a change that had taken place. I knew at 15 years old, my life was changed. And I'm convinced that I'm here with you this morning because of that changed life, because of what he's done. People every day still need Jesus. They come from different backgrounds. They come from different places. They come at different ages. But every single person needs to be saved. The unique thing about salvation is we come from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different areas, different lives before salvation. So I'm going to give you another testimony this morning, but I'm not going to be the one that speaks it. I'm going to have Pastor Chuck come. And he's going to tell you why he's thankful for salvation.
Well, the testimony of Brother Bruce and myself is exactly the same in terms of how we were saved, but our our backgrounds are different. I was saved when I was 22 years of age, 1968. And I think of that song that says, "It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you." And I think a personal testimony is about sharing what God has done for us, but also it's a reminder of what God can do for you. When it comes to my background was somewhat different. I was a rebellious kid. I became addicted to alcohol. And I can still remember very clearly coming to the place in my life to where I literally was at a dead-end street. I had a similar experience to Brother Bruce in the sense that I felt like that and this was under conviction, I felt like that if God didn't save me, I really felt like that my days were numbered upon this earth and I would be in a Christless eternity myself. My brother, Dave Peters, which you know, he got saved 6 months before I did. And he began to witness to me and invite me to church. He didn't know anything much about the Bible at that time because he was a new Christian himself. But he was persistent in witnessing to me and telling me to come to church. And I can remember finally agreeing, and I went to church one Sunday morning and heard the gospel preached and knew that I was a sinner and sensed the Spirit of God dealing with me and just about went forward at the invitation and got saved, but yet my stubbornness, I still resisted. And my brother and I went with him and his wife, Vera. They went up in the one of the areas there, Virginia, had a picnic, and I went with them, and I was asking all kinds of questions and so forth about, you know, this thing of being saved. Well, I went back that night, and the preacher preached a message, and it had to do with hardening your hearts out of Hebrews chapter number 3. And the Spirit of God used that message to remind me that my heart was hardened, and I was exactly that person. And I responded, went forward at the invitation, and my feet probably, I was probably saved even before my feet hit the aisles, to be quite honest with you. But I went forward, and a godly deacon in that church by the name of Herb Bowling took the Word of God and shared with me the gospel again, and I bowed my head and asked God to save me. Now, my background was one of rebellion and addiction to alcohol. And I struggled many times to quit drinking and so forth and just could not. That was how my life was. I was just eat up with, I loved the taste of beer. But anyway, I can remember this, one aspect of my rebellion. I hated school. I hated high school. I didn't like to study. And I was literally scared to death in one particular thing, and I've shared some of this before to you. I was scared to death to speak publicly. I was always a I was always a kind of a, I don't know how to put it, but I was shy, scared of my own shadow many times, and I could not stand to be on my feet talking to people. I would lock up. I just couldn't talk. I tried to give a book report one time and just literally just blew it. I went on back to the seat. I couldn't. That was how scared I was. Well, to tell you this, we were scheduled to give a book report. I think the course was called Distributor's Ed. I think that's what it was. And I was in the 11th grade. And I was scheduled to give a report that would be about 40 minutes long. And I said, no way, Jose. I said, I'm out of here. And I'll tell you what I did. I quit school over that report, public report. I quit school. And then I did something else stupid. I joined the Marine Corps. And when I joined the Marine Corps, I kept the bad attitude. Now, I actually, since I jumped out of the fire into the pan into the fire, I got into the Marine Corps with a bad attitude, sassed my platoon sergeant, got busted, taken down a stripe, hated the Marine Corps, hated the military, praying when he used to me back then because I wasn't saved, but I was looking forward to getting out. Well, long story short, what God's done for others, He'll do for you. He took the very thing that I feared the most and hated the most and turned it into something for His glory. I quit school because I didn't want to give a book report, and I've been given a book report now for 60 years. The book report. And also, I hated the military, and I just not too long ago retired after 28 years in the military. Only God can take your weaknesses and your fears and turn them smack dab around and use them for His glory. That verse talks about His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because I'll tell you something, and there's hope for all of you. With your greatest weaknesses and fears, that could be a plus for you. If you will realize that God wants all the credit for anything that's done anyway. And since then, when I get on my feet and able to open my mouth and say anything, I know it's God that's doing it. And He gets the glory. Amen. Brother Bruce.
Two different testimonies. Two different lives. Two different families, two different situations. And I could have asked each one of you that know Christ, and you would have had another story. Common denominator is Jesus. Common denominator. It's the fact of realizing that you're lost, realizing that you're on the way to hell, realizing that you need a change, and realizing that you need Jesus. And most importantly, that the Holy Spirit nudges on your heart and tells you, you need Jesus. You see, that's what we've got to be thankful for. That's why we're thankful for our salvation. And sometimes we get so busy in life, and sometimes we get so busy and so many things to do. And just like, you know, I was joking about that. It was true, but I was still joking about that hearing test I had. That's how our mind works, because we're already thinking about what we need to do next. We're always thinking about, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. And before you know it, life just passes. It's gone. It's gone. But you know what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is far more important than any place we'll ever go, anything we'll ever do, anything that we ever accomplish within ourselves. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation is what our foundation should be built on. Thankful for salvation. Let me give you just a few things this morning. Salvation is something that is absolutely necessary. It's not a decision. It's not going to a cafe and trying to decide what you're going to eat. and you would like this, or whether you want bread, or whether you want vegetables, or anything like that. But salvation is absolutely necessary. Notice what the words say in the latter part of that verse. The last four words says, we must be saved. That's what it says. We must be saved. It's absolutely necessary, and it's absolutely imperative that every single person gets saved. Why did Jesus die? Because all mankind needed to be saved, and he needed a way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can live our lives to the fullest. We can accomplish all our hopes and all our dreams, and we can accomplish and get our name up in lights and get our name carved in stone and so on and so forth. But in the end, if you don't have Jesus, in reality, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Notice this verse again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is something that is absolutely necessary. Number two, salvation is for the here and the now. Salvation is for the here and salvation is for the now. Why wait? Why wait? What is the real reason in people that are waiting? You know, you could give the reason that that you're shy. You could give the reason that you're afraid of what people think. You're afraid of coming forward, and you're afraid of all these things. And just like Pastor Chuck was saying, what he don't realize is, although we came from different backgrounds, we did have some similarities when it come to school. Because he dropped out of school. I didn't drop out, but every time it came to be me reading in public or me giving a book report or something like that, when it came to my time, I would always knock my book off my desk because I didn't like reading. And then one time the teacher said, "We'll wait till you pick it up." And even when I was at Piedmont, I still had that struggle. And look at both of us. But that's just what God can do in a life. God can change a life. You see, that what is the real reason in people saying no, or what is the real reason in people waiting? And I believe that's just another one of Satan's lies to say, "I can't. I can't go forward. I can't. What's people going to think?" You know, if there happened to be someone here that's never been saved, and that was maybe their idea of what will people think, I'm convinced that every single person will rejoice in someone getting saved, regardless of what idea they may have had. Because in reality, and let me just kind of put it this way, it really doesn't matter what people think. It only matters what God thinks. That's the most important thing. Sometimes we live our lives worried about what people think, but in reality, what's most important is what God thinks and what God knows. You see, salvation is here and now. You know, when it comes to salvation, salvation is given this side of heaven. Think about that. We rejoice in salvation, and we're going to be living in heaven because of salvation, but salvation is given this side of heaven. This side of heaven. Salvation must be received in this current life. We're living, we're breathing, and salvation must be received in this current life. Proverbs 23 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We don't know what this afternoon's going to bring. We don't even know what the next minute's going to bring. But what we know, based upon what the Bible says and based upon what the verse says this morning, is we must be saved. That's what we do know. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time of accepted, and in the day of salvation have you secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's today. There may not be a tomorrow. There may not be a second thought. So if you don't know this morning and you have any doubt in your mind, then you can know. You can know. I've had it said several times to me in my life. I'm just not sure. I think, you know, I don't want anyone to leave, or I don't want the service to end this morning without people knowing. Whether you know whether you've been saved or not. Whether you know. Not that I think we can know this morning, based on what the Bible tells us. Because there may not be a tomorrow. And that's why I'm thankful I didn't have to wait. I'm thankful for salvation because it's here and now. And I'm thankful that I didn't have to wait. I didn't have to wait till I got a certain age, or I didn't have to wait till I accomplished this. I didn't have to wait that someone says, "Well, you've become a saint today." I didn't have to wait for any of those things. All I knew is, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my heart. Will you please save me?" And he saved me immediately. I didn't have to wait. And that's what's so wonderful about salvation. I told you this story before, but there was an older gentleman that gave his testimony one time, and he's in heaven now, but he pulled on the side of the road. He was driving I don't remember if it was a truck or a car or something, but he pulled off on the side of the road because the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he got saved on the side of the road. Said, I need to be saved. And that's what's so wonderful about the salvation in here and now. It's not a matter of the dues. I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to, you know, we don't have to clean ourselves up. We just need to come as we are. We come as we are. So many religions tell you, you've got to clean yourself up and you've got to, you know, you've got to do certain things and you'll be okay if you do those things. Well, you know, we're not good at following rules. But I hope we're good at following Jesus. I hope we're good at following Jesus. So I'm thankful that we don't have to wait. Growing up, I was told to wait on so many things. My mother would be baking, cakes or supper or cookies or something like that. And I'd try to go in there and sample. And she'd always say, "Wait." I didn't like to wait. I didn't like to wait. And I was so discouraged when she would make a cake or cookies or something, and she'd have the batter and she'd have the icing in the bowl and she would always try to leave me a little something and that I could lick the bowl. But when I saw her taking that spoon and scraping and scraping and scraping, I'm like, "No, don't do that. Leave me a little bit." Because I didn't want to wait. Well, in salvation, we don't have to wait. We can have it right now. We can have it right now. All we have to do is accept Christ as our personal Savior. Not waiting isn't an option because there's no promise in tomorrow. Waiting is not an option because there's no promise in tomorrow. Number three, there's only one salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. No one will ever be saved except by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what they try to do. It doesn't matter what they're trying to be taught. It doesn't matter what they were taught as a child and those type of things. What matters is what the Bible says. That's what matters. He is the only way to salvation, and I'm thankful for that. Why? Because men mess up. And men have a lot of opinions, and men have a lot of ideas, and men have a lot of shortcomings and all those things. But when we look to the Lord, He's the only way to salvation, and He's the only way. He's the only way to salvation. And I'm glad it isn't up to man, because we would mess up. No matter what you have done, no matter what you've not done, no matter what kind of life that you lived in, and we gave two testimonies, and I appreciate him Pastor giving his testimony. And I told him last minute, I sent him a text this morning, I said, "You gonna be here?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "I need you to give your testimony." The point of this is, it doesn't matter what bloodline you came from. The most important thing is that we're under the same blood, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's what matters. A person is saved the same way through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Number four, salvation is offered to all. Salvation is offered to all. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Whosoever. I'm thankful for that promise this morning. The only thing that stands in the way of the whosoever is a person that says, "No, I can't. No, not now. No, I'll do it later." That's the only thing that stands in the way of Jesus Christ saving a life, is the person saying no. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to try to tell you. You know, there's so many things. Trying to make people do things. You know, there's so many things that I could give, and there's so many examples that I could give, but just for the sake of time, let me just say that the door is open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door's open. You just have to go through. He's already made the way. He's already done the work. There's nothing else that needs to be done except for yes. Yes. The world is full of changes. The world is full of trying to make things better, trying to do things better, and all those things have their place. But there is absolutely one thing that can't be changed, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how rich a person is. It doesn't matter how poor a person is. It doesn't matter what bloodline they come through. It doesn't matter what position they hold. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what language they talk. It doesn't matter of any of those things. But what matters is saying yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved every single person enough to die on the cross for our sins. And what He's given through His shed blood will take care of any problem, any sin, any shortcoming, anything in the past. It doesn't matter. What He's done for us will take care, and it will cause us, when we say yes to Jesus, it will cause that weight to be lifted. You say, "How can you explain that?" You can't explain it. You can say it, but you can't explain it. But you can experience it. You can experience it. Even at 15 years old, and I said yes to Jesus, I knew my life had changed. That moment, I knew my life had changed. And that's what Jesus will do for you. And that's why I'm thankful for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby, and notice these four words, we must be saved. We must. There's not an option. We must. We can talk about heaven. We can rejoice about heaven. We can talk about our future. We can talk about all those things. But you won't see heaven if you don't go through Jesus. But you know what I rejoice about this morning when it comes to salvation? I rejoice over salvation now. Yes, we have a future. But I rejoice over salvation now because what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can share and we can live and we can enjoy what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning that if you don't know Christ, I challenge you to come. Even those that are watching online, get to someone, send a message, and we'll reach out to you. But if there's someone here that's never said yes to Jesus, don't let anything get in the way of saying yes to Jesus. And for those that are, you know, that's just let life get in the way and maybe you hadn't been as quite as thankful as you should be, may this be a time of refreshing, renewal of what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, I pray as we have this invitation, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, Lord, will you nudge that heart? Lord, even if it causes a person to be miserable, Lord, I pray that you'll convict that heart and cause them to realize the only peace is in Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts and cause them to realize we must be saved. Lord, we thank you for salvation. And now we ask your blessings on this invitation. In any way, if there's a need, I pray that they'll come. In Jesus' name, amen.